plate a potential nugget.
And moving forward on the journey of building a PE fund, Ashish, what's having done this for a while, what's your take on some of the intrinsics required to be an effective PE investor? And the reason I ask is, you know, as we think about career choices, you know, one is sort of the skill level hygiene, right? What's your educational background required? But every profession has a certain DNA to be successful. If you had to decode the DNA of a successful PE investor, not that there is one archetype, but what are the two, three must-haves at a deeper level for somebody to flourish in this space?
Yeah, so I think there are a few. And I would say, by the way, I think liberal arts education is good training for the PE business, because I don't think you can be unidimensional. A lot of people think to be a PE investor, you've got to be good at, say, economics and analysis, you know, just data crunching, reading balance sheets, et cetera, et cetera. But I think it's much more than that. I think that at different levels, you need to be fairly skilled. The first is, I think, at an emotional level and psychological level. I think a deep ability to somewhere be a critical thinker, to have confidence in your own thinking, but yet keeping an ear to the ground and being able to listen, but being able to filter out what you're hearing. And to be able to control your emotions, I think, is absolutely critical. You know, that when you are an investor, you're surrounded by a lot of market noise. And I think the easiest thing to do is to be wallowing in other people's thoughts or in the, you know, dancing to the rhythm of the market. And in fact, the best investors are contrarians. To be a contrarian, you have to have that in your DNA to be able to think independently, to almost stand up to the crowd. But in this case, you can't do it. You can't remove yourself from the crowd, because then you stop listening, because you can get things wrong and sometimes do need to pivot. So I think that's one essential trait, is know thyself and think deeply about yourself. Be a little bit of a psychologist almost at one level. I think at a second level, you have to be a, you know, big picture person, almost a macroeconomist and a historian. Macro, because you got to understand, you know, how the economy works, different sectors, what the drivers are, and at a very fundamental level, have a sense of that. But a historian, because you have to understand, you know, how industries have developed over time, how market cycles have played out, having that perspective of how it's happened before, how bubbles got created, you know, what were the best times to invest. So I think having historical perspective, I believe, is absolutely critical. And being a little bit of a big picture thinker is important. You can't just say, oh, I'm looking at this company and doing due diligence. You get too narrow and you lose the forest for the trees, in a sense. So I think having that trait is important. And I think a third is just to be a sort of being shrewd or street smart. I think it's critical. Particularly when you're in India, I mean, I think there's a lot of governance issues with companies. There are always people running after you to get your money, but then they're not going to deliver returns. So I think being able to just be really street smart and shrewd and not let people take you for a ride, which means, I think, just being skeptical, having sort of informal networks to suss people out, looking for signals, body language. I mean, I've always believed being able to read body language is very, very critical. You know, being able to ask questions in a certain way and see how people fidget or react gives you a sense of whether they're honest or dishonest, or almost developing your own polygraph, in a sense, is critical to being able to figure people out. So I think that third dimension is also very, very critical. You know, being street smart, being grounded, being able to read people, being able to suss out the bad apples, in a sense, which no textbook, no analyst who writes research reports is going to be able to tell you. I think those are very important traits. And then the fourth one, I think, is just staying the course. I think, you know, it's very easy as an investor to want to either drink the Kool-Aid, and it happened with the emerging markets, and just believe in your investments and stay with them forever, right? And, you know, at every level, you kind of think your company's gotten better. And then at the same time, there's the danger of being too myopic. At the first sign of trouble, you want to just bolt. I think finding that halfway house where, you know, you stay the course, but at the same time, because there are market cycles, you play the market cycles well. That you zig when other people are zagging. You know, when people are, you know, fundamentally at the top of the market, getting excited, you're actually exiting companies, and at the bottom of the market, you're actually investing quite a bit of money. So I think having that makeup, I think, is very, very critical.
Got it. Just going back to one of the things you mentioned, Ashish, filtering out the signal from the noise. If you had to maybe just expand on that, you know, you need to have your own conviction, but at the same time, you need to listen enough to what's happening in the market. Any, if you had to sort of peel that, any thoughts there on how one could walk the tightrope?
Yeah, so I think firstly, not all noise should even be paid attention to. I mean, like, as an investor, I just wouldn't watch CNBC. It was a waste of time. And that's noise that is just absolutely distracting. The noise I'm referring to is the view of even smart participants in the market. So research analysts write on companies. I'd want to read their reports. Even there, over time, you figure out who the better ones, and you prioritize your time reading the better ones. To understand market cycles, there are great investors out there and great thinkers, you know, Buffett himself, Howard Marks, people like that. And so you read them to stay attuned to market cycles. So I think to be a good investor, you have to read a lot. I mean, Buffett is 89 and still reads more than 500 pages a day.
Wow.
And so I think you just have to be that curious individual who reads a lot. But I think figuring out what you're reading, being able to filter out the crap very quickly, so you're reading better stuff. And even when you read the contrarian views, you've got to cull out the fact from opinion and then be able to create the opinions for yourself. But when I say keep your ear to the ground, because other people will have access to facts that you don't. They've garnered something. They've done some research on comparables from elsewhere. They found out something about the company and connections with other companies. They've analyzed the balance sheet the way you haven't. So you can't ignore that. So I think being able to cull out facts from different places, but having that, I almost feel being away from the noise center makes you better. And so one of the reasons I moved to Delhi was partly personal. My parents, my wife's parents, but partly I had this belief that Bombay is the noise center with regards to the markets. And being away from Bombay would make me a better investor. And I think that's true if you look at even people like Pulak Prasad, who was at McKinsey, who I think is a good investor. He lives in Singapore. He's away from the noise. He's not talking to the Bombay people every day. Buffett lives in Omaha and not in New York. I think just being away from the noise helps you as well, because your friends then are not people from that world, they're from another world. So it's you're not consumed by the noise, in a sense.
That's a great insight.
It's interesting to hear Ashish speak about his background in liberal arts and how that helped him with PE investing. I'm reminded of a conversation I had with a young business analyst when I was at McKinsey in New Jersey in the US. He was a graduate in political science from one of the Ivy League universities. And I remember asking him, why management consulting after a degree in political science? He actually went on to say that political science was the most preferred degree for consulting firms to hire from in his college. And that really got my attention. And I went on to ask him why. Because consulting firms, PE and VC firms in India, go after analytics and numeric horsepower that one gets trained in a place like IIT. He went on to say that while the analytical tools helped you to solve tough closed-ended problems, political science gave him the tools to make sense of a complex pattern and all the ambiguity in the world. And to be candid, it made a lot of sense. Dan Pink actually has written about this in the book, A Whole New Mind, Why Right-Brainers Will Rule the Future. If you like this nugget, you might specifically be interested in the playlist Insights on Career Paths and Private Equity. And you can find that in the curated playlist section at playtopotential.com.